Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody. Oops, sorry. I did plug us in. Good morning, and today is August 2nd, 2018. Today would have been my parents, I think their 59th anniversary. They were married in 1959. So that's 40, and then to 8, and then to 18. So 40 years, and one second. Okay. I'm back. I'm so sorry. I was getting a call from someone, and I think they were one of my people so that I don't oversleep for the show, and they might have thought that that's what was happening. So I was going to let them know we're okay. So today is Dream Theme Thursday, but it is my parents' anniversary, and I remember it, and I laugh because my mom, when I would say, you know, it was my birthday, and, you know, she had six kids, trying to keep up with birthdays was a year-round event, and she'd say, birthdays are no big deal, everybody's born. She said, but anniversaries, they're a big deal. It's a day you choose, and, you know, every year it's an accomplishment. And, you know, she just thought anniversaries were the biggest thing in the world. It's not like they celebrated them any different. It was just that it was their anniversary, and it meant so much to her. And so I hope they're having a party, you know where, just right at home, I guess, more at home than here. And I saw them both, speaking of dreams, other night in a dream, and this time, my last one before my mom died, my dad came and told me my mom died, and I was crying in my dream, and it woke me up in my dream, and I woke up, and my entire face was wet, and I had been really crying, not just in my dream, so it affected me that deeply. And after that happened, by 2 weeks, my mom had an aneurysm, and I was like, oh, my God. But it was more with love when he came and told me, and excitement from his part as opposed to how we feel. So that was very interesting. And in my dream, my mom was there, and then my dad came over. And I thought, oh, wow, my dad's coming over. My mom's already there. Like, it was just weird, but I wasn't conscious of the fact that they were no longer here in my dream when I saw that. So they were just showing up, and today's their anniversary. So there they go. Happy anniversary. So I have two dreams today. I have one from Liam, and he said, hi, Nadia, good morning. I had a dream with both of us in it. It was at a sporting venue, a big one. We were both performing. It was like the halftime Super Bowl show. Whoa. I was coming down from a height and going to sing Highway to Hell, but I fell. Oh, wow. You too fell coming down from a height. Yet there was great excitement. My granny was there wondering why I wanted to sing such a... I can't remember much, but you were being carried off in a wedding dress and your nose was all bandaged up and you were saying to me, I didn't get to hear you. It was all positive energy. It kind of felt a bit like we were back at my grandma's house too, but no. There was a big production at a stadium vibe to it. My mom was also wondering why I chose such a song. It was a big performance anyway that went a bit astray, but we were all in positive energy. Then I woke up. It just was just almost like a gathering in the fact that I fell and left and you fell, but you were fine. Whatever it was, everybody ends up okay no matter what we go through. At the end of the day, you explain to everyone, hey, I like this song. I wanted to do this song. Yeah, you might not get it, but maybe when I do it, you'll get it. And me being there and being connected to you, it's like I'm in the category with your granny and your mom, only I'm performing. And I fell and I got hurt. And I get hurt a lot in life, physically and mentally. I always stand back up. and know I'll be okay. But I'm glad I was taken away. I'm glad there was help for me. So thank you for that in your dream. But going a little deeper in it is the connection you feel to me to the point where we're performing together. So you feel your work is important. And, you know how important my work is to me. So you know, okay, well, your work is important. So that equated into a venue. And so you know your work's important. And you know that even if people don't like what you've chosen to do, you're still okay. You didn't argue or fight back or try to tell them what or why or give them a whole defensive answer, but you just accepted that they were not crazy about it. And that there was still excitement. No matter what happened, it didn't take away and it didn't poke holes and it didn't hurt anybody. And in your dream, me falling and getting hurt, I appreciate that because that just lets me know I'm okay no matter what. It doesn't matter what happens. But usually when somebody's getting hurt, it's because physically hurt. It's because they're actually propelling. I had those dreams. They used to scare the heck out of me. And now that I know what they mean, I'm not so scared. And I don't get scared like I can't function scared. But I'm like, oh, ugly dream, you know. And when I went to go tell my mom my dreams, she would tell me, oh, you know, when somebody dies in your dream, somebody gets hurt in your dream, it's not a warning. It's not a warning. Ego gets us in a place where we believe it's a warning, but it's not. It's a release. And you release those fears, you release those thoughts, you release those things. Think about it. Most of the people we dream about getting hurt or dying are people very close to us in our minds or in our world. And we fear the loss of them. Not fear like we think about it all day, but, you know, it would be very hard on us. And so when we dream that we've lost them or they get hurt, what we do is we're releasing that fear. We are not adopting it. But when we don't know that and we walk around and have dreams like that, they're not very pretty because we wake up and it bothers us all day that we remembered it. Like, wow, that was powerful enough for me to remember it. But dreams are just a release in us that puts together, in the craziest way it seems, whatever it is that's floating around, it kind of puts a story around it that we don't forget. And sometimes we just shrug our shoulders and laugh and go, wow, that was a crazy dream. That will never happen. Well, dreams that we have when we sleep aren't meant to happen. They're meant to release what we have inside of us. So if kids have nightmares and the parents, you know, start talking like, oh, they keep having nightmares. Oh, my poor kid. And the kid's scared to sleep by himself or herself and all the stuff gets rolled around it. But when we're kids, we have a lot of fears and they're brand new because we're not used to feeling fears. We're like free and, you know, we don't know a car could hit us. We don't know something could fall on us. We don't know we could get hurt. We don't know a lot of things yet, so we don't have in our dreams. And then once we start knowing that, no, don't do this. No, don't do that. No, you'll get hurt. No, you know, and it goes on and on. Then they start having nightmares because the fear that they're adopting is releasing from them. But we look at it as they're troubled. But really, that means all systems go and everything is working, that they're releasing that fear. I remember I was 8 years old, as clear as day, when I went to Vacation Bible School and I walked into the church. It was in the basement of the church and it was the coolest place in the whole world, was in there. And it's, you know, so hot and muggy in Chicago in the summers. And we went in and, you know, we walked in about 5 minutes late, and I went with my neighbor, and they were already in progress of showing a film of a house burning down. And then saying, if your house burned down tonight, would you go to heaven? Well, that question hit two things I never thought about. One of them was my house burning down. Ever. And the other one, I never questioned if I was going to heaven or not. I just thought God loved us. I had no idea yet, other than hearing there's a hell and not knowing what that even meant, that there was a chance I wouldn't. I left that vacation Bible school with fear, did not walk in with. Every single night after that I went to sleep, I don't care what the adults tried to tell me, I don't care what anybody tried to tell me, what I saw, because I saw it in a film, and I was 8 years old. They didn't have mass media or social media yet. We didn't see much then. It scared the heck out of me. So every time I'd go to bed, I would cross my fingers. I would, like, do everything I could. And I'd say, God, please don't let our house burn down tonight. Say that every single night. And in the morning, I would thank God when I'd wake up that our house didn't burn down that night. I didn't even get to going to heaven yet in my mind, because I wanted my house to be safe or still there the next day. And then my friend that went to that church, she told me I had to be saved, and we went through that whole thing. And I didn't understand it, but fear makes an 8-year-old do those things that we don't understand yet, because the fear is so overpowering that we don't even get to our other feelings, and that's where we stunt. It took a while before my brain had dreams about it. But in my dreams, always escaped. We always got out. My fear was there were so many of us, and we always had a young child, because I'm one of the oldest. I'm the oldest girl in our family, and, you know, every 2 years, my mom was producing. So having all systems in place, and my parents weren't from here, and they didn't have fire escape meetings in the house or anything like that. It was all up to chance. And I didn't know enough to tell my family to do that yet. But once I started dreaming about it, the fear was leaving me, because I saw us get out. I saw us jump to action. I saw things like that in my dreams. And over time, that left me. And over time, I stopped saying it before I went to sleep, because it was no longer an imminent threat to me. So when we have these kinds of dreams, they are releasing, they are taking out, they are concluding, they are finishing, they are giving you ideas. When you're at work, it happens a lot. You hit a problem, and you're trying to figure it out, and you're like, God, I tried this, and I tried that, and I went around this way, and I can't figure out an equation to make this work, and then you go to sleep, or you take a nap. And your brain is so in it. And you start to figure it out in your sleep, and you see how it works. And when you see that, you wake up and you can't wait to get back to work and to apply this new knowledge or this new way, and your entire world opens up through that release. Dreams are not a scare tactic. They are a release mechanism. It's like the safety net in our mind. And until we started doing Dream Theme Thursday, because when I did the show on dreams, I didn't even know that much about dreams. But over the past couple of years, as we have been talking about dreams and all these insights keep coming to me, I can't believe how we never were taught how important that part of us is. We are taught daydreams are night dreams, are just silly and non-producing. But then I think of God and how big God is. Why would we dream? Why don't we just go to sleep, go home, come back, and never remember anything? How does that part of our mind open up and come up with all these ways to reach us, to release through us? Just like body maintenance, we have to, you know, eat, and we go to a bathroom, and we need to sleep. None of us can live without doing that. But the dream part is huge. What happens in our sleep is huge. And it behooves us to discount how big that is. We see people who have passed calling it a dream. We see our kids get hurt. We discount it by adding fear to it instead of, wow, we're going to be okay. I just released that fear. Wow, I have a healthy mind, brain, and soul. Everything's working. Ask some of the greatest minds of our time now, or our time in the past, and you will find that a lot of them, if they're honest enough, and then I know in the time when I read Think and Grow Rich, it happened, because back in those days, people used to take a nap during the day, and Henry Ford both said that they had visions during their sleep. And that's how they knew what they were able to do. That's what drove their discovery. They saw it. They didn't know how to get there. Because, you know, God doesn't give us answers. He gives us vision. He gives us dreams. It's our job to figure out how. That's why when people come to me and they want an answer, well, what did Christ say about this? And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Christ never gave me an answer. But he gave me an experience. It's not that we have to do the work as a punishment. We have to do the work as a gift. And that gift comes with challenges that we need to overcome so that we feel like we're part of our own lives. And that deeper inside, we know we're doing what we came here to do. There isn't a magic answer for everybody. But there are magical experiences. And when we get to the other side of a really hard challenge, we have never felt so good. Everything material that we think we wanted looks small compared to how good it is. Feels to figure something out. Just to figure it out. You dreamt it and saw it. How you get there is remarkable to our brain. Dreams are so vital. And I have one more from Chris Kip Woods, and if I keep going, we're never going to get through it. Here it goes. Hi, Nadia. Love. hug. I had a dream, and I was talking out loud in my sleep. I was telling someone that I was brought up in a life of fear. Oh, how poignant. And that's why I do all these things that take away from me to escape the pain of mind. All the while I was talking, there was a rope around my neck, and it was being tightened. Station around my neck felt very real in the dream. Can you give me your take on this? Thank you. You would think you were hanging and gonna die. That's the first thing you think when you read a dream like that, but it's exactly what I was just talking about. How cool, because I don't read my dreams before. I'll say, okay, I've got two dreams, because I don't like to know what they are. I don't like to overthink anything. And here, he's talking about that exact same thing. We were brought up in lives of fear and able our strength. Every time we accept fear, it disables our strength. Every single time. Fear is that predictable. Our ego is that predictable. Fear is a disabler. It's like somebody tying up your legs and then telling you to walk, only it happens in our minds and we can't see it, so we don't think it's as big a deal as really not walking. And in here, what you've done is you believe, and this is to Chris, that fear took your life. It took your life. But we don't die from fear physically. But you were taking it to physical death because you feel that it already killed you emotionally. But you don't die. Which means there is always and still forever opportunity to overcome fear. Fear is not meant to be a mainstay in any of our lives. It is not meant to do that. It's kept in our lives. And my God, if you watch, And I try it every once in a while to see if it still happens to me and I can handle it. If you watch the news at any given time, when you watch the news, it happens to me. My heart starts beating faster. It's like complete chaos with somebody dressed nicely in a suit who's promoting their social media and themselves, and then the show's promoting itself, and everyone's promoting something, and check us out on this and this and this and this, and you hear this whole string. And there's very rarely good news. Very rarely. And by the time I get off the news, I feel like somebody just clouded my vision. I feel tired. My heart is beating faster because, I'm not used to it. And because I'm not used to it, I am not used to accepting fear as a way of thought. Because that's what we need to have to do that. And to accept it. And it's just like when you stop eating bad food. When you eat it, it doesn't even taste like food. It tastes like sugar, salt, or fat. Big event last night that dealt with at-risk children. And those children got up and each spoke about how their life was affected by this group who's been working for 10 years called Ambition, that goes into the inner city schools and gives kids mentors to be stronger business people in their lifetimes. And now these kids that were involved in these programs from high school that are in college or have graduated were the ones speaking. And every single time, all we saw was someone who had a rope around their neck and then took it off. They were incredible stories. I mean, I sat there and I wanted to cry from happiness because people might say, well, it was only 10 kids out of 50. What do you mean it was only 10 kids out of 50? 10 people who had something in them to grow and to share are going to have completely different lives now because they found a way to hear what helps them and use that information instead of fight it. And in your dream, Chris, you are letting go and releasing that fear. So just because you felt that sensation, it's because the fear got so deep into you that you felt it and then felt it, and it's like you almost can't escape it. But in truth, you were just releasing it. And it's like the last stitches of it that have been in there for a long time are leaving. They're leaving. News you could have all day long, all lifelong. We are breaking the barriers. We are breaking the boundaries, the limits that fear has put on us. My God, even if you listen to the radio listen to the news on the radio. Sometimes I want to hear for the traffic report when I'm driving, even though I have Google and I see it. In LA, there's certain roads that if they're shut down, you're shut down. There's only one way in, one way out. And so I end up having to deal with that a lot. And so I check and I hear these things about, you know, do you have thinning here? Do you have this? Do you have that? And I'm like, who wants to think about this stuff? And it just makes you feel like you're not up to snuff no matter what you've got. You've got something. And so yesterday when we were coming home from this event, and I thought to myself, no matter what's going on out there, no matter how much fear of falling down a height and breaking a nose or having a noose around your neck in your dreams and having all these horrific things that, like, if they really happened, you'd be going, oh, my God. But there's recovery. There's ways to get out. There's ways to grow through. There's ways to make it. If we can accept our scariest thoughts and show our mind how it can live through it and how we can get on the other side of it, yeah, we might need some time for repairs. Worst case scenario, we die, and where are we going? We're going somewhere great. That's where we're going. But every single thing we're sold has death behind it so that we'll be scared. And so we release it in our dreams because our dreams are taking out the trash for the most part. I hope you guys, wow, today just feels like it went by in 3 minutes. But I will see you tomorrow on Questions Friday. Have a great Thursday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.